It's good to be in God's house this morning. Once again, thank you for all the work, all the labor that's been done this weekend between the Mexican dinner and the work day on Saturday. Just thank you. Thank you so much. And I know the Lord will bless you for it, the efforts put forth. Praise the Lord. And I mean, it goes along with my message this morning. The title of the message this morning is Giving Glory. Giving glory. Giving glory to God. Giving praise to God. And we'll expound upon this a little bit. But what was transpired this weekend was actually a way of giving glory to God. The efforts we put forth for God's kingdom, God's work, bring glory to His name. In Psalm 115, verse number 1, you stand with us, if you would, for the reading of our text this morning. It says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake." Amen. You can be seated again this morning. Once again, the title, Giving Glory. Glory unto God. And that word glory, it's another one of those English words that have such a multitude of uses. It's one thing about our English language, a lot of times one word has many different connotations, many different definitions of how you use that word. That was one thing about the Greek language, and that's why it's was used quite a bit there in that day, that hour of the beginning of the church, because they were more precise in their language. When they spoke something, the words they spoke carried exactly what they meant. But then when you translate it into, and of course this is not Hebrew in what I just read to you, but when they translate it into English, well, we have one word that meets a lot of the needs of their multitudes of words. And so here in the Bible, when we find the word glory, it can be used as a verb, it can be used as a noun. And of course, that's just different parts of the English language. And all students love English, of course. Some do, believe it or not. Some love the English courses. And some, what I have found as a teacher in school is those that love math dislike English. Those that love English dislike math. Because it's the two types of temperaments. One loves that articulating and that just using words, and the other one is analytic, just would rather have a number than a word. Rather have a picture than sentences. And so this is a little bit different. You got to learn both ways. Praise God. That's what schooling's all about, is to learn, isn't it? That's pretty profound, isn't it, Brother Cisneros? Praise God. And so the word glory in the verb tense means to exalt with joy, to rejoice, to boast or be proud of, to praise. Praise ascribed in adoration and honor. Of course, I'm giving you several different definitions here this morning. Honor, praise, fame, renown, celebrity, honorable representation of God, a distinguished honor or ornament, that which honors or makes renown, that of which one may boast. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what boasting is, don't you? Boasting is when you are so enthralled with something, you can't help but talk about it. And you can't help but share it with everybody. Hallelujah. That's what boasting is about. And I realize the Bible talks about an arrogant boasting that is not appropriate, but yet praise is boasting about our God. Exalting our God. Glory, giving glory to God is giving Him the honor, the renown that is due unto His name. And this is what we're after this morning, is giving glory to the Lord and realizing how that we do that. In Psalms 19 and verse number 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Here it's used more as a noun and a describing God, and it's used as splendor and magnificence and the wonder of the creation of God, and how that God knows all the stars by name. Now, I'm not up on what the scientists have said here of late. The last statistic that I read about how many stars are in our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, what I read was 76 trillion. Now, it may be more, it may be less. I'm not for sure what they say at this present moment of time, but 76 trillion is a pretty good number of a vast amount of stars in this Milky Way, and God's Word declares that He knows every one of them by name. The splendor of God, the magnificence of God, the how God created all things, and how that God is there in being praised in that handiwork, the handiwork of God. Now, in 2 Chronicles 7:1, it says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." The splendor of God, the magnificence of God, the overwhelming presence of the Holy God of heaven filled that temple that day. It's the same splendor, it's the same magnificence, it's the same presence that can fill this temple today. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God, the presence of God abiding in our temple. Hallelujah. That glory of God coming down and indwelling us. Praise His holy name. And so we see this is talking about that splendor, that magnificence of God. In Psalms 113:1 it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens." Psalm 104:31, it says, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever, and the Lord shall rejoice in His works." God has created all things. He has created all things. And when you read the account in Genesis, when God created it, it was good. Well, there was a transaction that transpired in the midst of that creation. And we don't know the time frame of it, but we have the record account of it when man fell into sin. And man rebelled against God. And sin came into the world. And man then began to have to deal with the problem of sin. God began immediately giving promises of what was going to transpire and that there would be salvation from sin. And Jesus Christ, making a long story short, Jesus Christ was the answer and the fulfillment of God's dealing with sin. You see, all through the Old Testament, God dealt with sin in a natural realm, in a physical realm. As you read in the Old Testament, you find that the cup of iniquity would fill up in a nation. And then God would bring judgment upon that nation. The cup of iniquity would fill up. This is terminology of the Bible. The cup of iniquity would fill up and judgment would fall. And many times God used the children of Israel as judgment. But Jesus Christ, when He came changing things. He came bringing mercy and truth. He came bringing grace. He came bringing forgiveness. He came bringing something that man could not do without Him. And so that's when things change. When Jesus came, that's when things change. I'm not sure. I haven't really studied it in depth, but you know just as well as I do that time changed in the sense of B.C. and A.D. When did that happen? When Jesus came. Is it precise day for day, moment for moment? No, but it's the general time. When Jesus Christ stepped from the portals of glory. See, there's the word glory again, the splendor and the magnificence of God the Father. When He stepped in flesh and God became flesh, things changed. It was a marker and moment in time when God turned from judgment to salvation. Now, there's going to be another change coming. According to the Word of God, it's coming at the end of this age, this church age. When the church is removed, judgment's going to fall. Judgment's not so much for all the sins that have been committed. Judgment is falling for one specific sin that leads to all other sin. The rejection of Jesus Christ. That's what judgment's going to fall. All those who reject Jesus Christ are going to fall then under the judgment of God, because grace has been poured out. In other words, God has just allowed grace to move in the hearts of men and women all through these last 2,000 years. Judgment has not fallen, other than civil judgment. But God's judgment hadn't fallen. And so we see then the glory that is due our God is because God is going to take care of all things. God is righteous. God is holy. God is full of grace. God is full of mercy. But judgment will come. But he is holding it off because he's a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of grace. He's not willing that any should perish outside of Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes we perish from this earth. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with Jesus Christ. The child of God, the believer, if we're absent from here, if we die, if something happens to us, we're gone, we're out of here, we're in heaven, we're in paradise, we're with Jesus. Praise God. That's why there's no fear of death. That's why we realize it's just the door to the transition and to the glorifying of our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm after giving glory to God. I'm after giving honor to God because God is worthy of all glory. In Psalms 29:2, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." In Jeremiah 9:23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." In Galatians 6:14, it says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." You see, there is something that we can glory in. Not in our wisdom, not in our might, not in our riches, but we can glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because through that cross we've been changed. Through that cross, we've been forgiven. Through that cross, a newness of life has been regenerated and birthed in us. Hallelujah. And that's why we can glory in the cross. It's not of my righteousness. It's not of your righteousness. It's not of the righteousness of any individual other than Jesus Christ himself. That's why Paul said, "I can't glory in anything else." You see, to understand that statement, you've got to realize that Paul had all kinds of things he could glory in. Paul had all kinds of things he could boast about. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Paul was learned in all the Jewish heritage and traditions and the law. I mean, if there was a school to go to, he went to it. He was taught by the elite of his day. He knew it frontwards, he knew it backwards. But he had a problem with this man called Jesus. Amen. He just couldn't get a hold of it. It led him to the place, and you can read this there in the Gospels. You can read it then, and you can read it not in the Gospels, but in the book of Acts, where he was breathing out threatenings against the church. Do you understand what that means? He didn't have anything good to say about the church. He hated the church. He hated Jesus. because he was so wrapped up in what he had been taught from a youth up that he kept rejecting when Jesus came pulling on his heart. You can read it there in the book of Acts where Stephen was preaching the gospel. And he was standing there consenting to the stoning of Stephen because Stephen was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they stoned him. They killed Stephen. His name was Saul. Saul of Tarsus at that point in time. He later became Paul. We don't really know exactly why. Might have been of the notorious fame of Saul. He just didn't want that trademark. You know, Lindsay just shared with us about names. He became the writer of the majority of the New Testament. He was a murderer. He murdered Stephen that day. He didn't do it with his own hands, but he manipulated men to get the job done. But on his road, on the road to Damascus, you can read it there in Acts chapter number 9. On the road to Damascus, we find that he met Jesus face to face. A bright light shone. The Bible says Saul fell to the earth. He said, "Who art thou?" And this was the reply that was given. "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And the next words out of his mouth showed forth the transition in his heart. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" He met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, changed his life. He went from a hater of the church to a proclaimer of the church because he met Jesus Christ on a personal plane. And when Jesus Christ revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus, he submitted to Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And from that point forward, he became a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus began to teach him, train him, and ultimately used him to win more people to Jesus Christ, to found more churches than the other disciples, and to write the majority of the New Testament that we have in God's Word, the Bible. Woo. He went from glorifying himself to bringing glory unto God. He went from glorifying his cause and his purpose to bringing glory and honor to God because he had met the God of heaven. He had met the Savior of the world. He had met Jesus Christ. And so, you know, here are a few ways that the Bible tells us and admonishes us how we are to bring glory unto the Lord. Psalms 22:23, it says, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seeds of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel." These will not be up there on the screen this morning, but I've got some more I'm going to get to. But by praising God, by praising, lifting our voice, magnifying God, extolling God, boasting about God, giving glory unto God with the fruit of our lips, the praise, the thanksgiving, letting it be known to all men that the Lord, He is our God, and we are serving Him and we are following Him. And that's one way to bring glory to God. We bring glory to God by our good deeds, our good works. That's, once again, I mentioned, you know, by working back there, by helping in the Mexican dinner, those things, by helping individuals along life's way, by doing good deeds, we are bringing glory to our Father in heaven. And Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, remember when we first read there, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Amen. So letting my light shine before men is doing those things that help them. Amen. Just simple good works bring glory to your Father in heaven. I think it was Brother Jason that when he preached the last Sunday night began to read where Jesus said that, you know, he was giving out rewards. He was giving out glory to those who did things for him. And they said, Lord, when did we do this for you? They said, well, when one was sick and you visited him, you did that to me. When one was hungry and you fed him, you did that for me. When one was thirsty and you gave him water, you did that for me. Praise God. See, that's bringing glory and honor unto God. Hallelujah. By the works that we do. Now in John 15:8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Fruit bearing. See, fruit bearing is just a little bit different than doing good works. Fruit bearing is actually going to deal with our nature, our character. Fruit bearing is Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's such there is no law. There's nothing that can make this happen. This is what happens when the Spirit of God has control. Hallelujah. This is that fruit that Jesus said you must bear. And you can't bear it without me. You've got to abide in the vine. You've got to abide in me. And then we learn from Galatians here, 5:22, that the fruit of the Spirit of God is what brings this into us that was not there before. Just wasn't there before. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. See, these are things that are part of character in me, of what God brings in me as the Spirit of God works the Word of God in me. It's not just the Word of God coming at me. It's literally the Word of God coming in me and flowing out of me. So fruit bearing brings glory unto God. We've got to realize there's this, you know, spiritual unity brings glory unto God. Romans 15:6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're seeing then, you know, praise, good works, fruit-bearing character, hallelujah, that love of God, and spiritual unity. And Sister Lindsay already made comment about that we're part of the family of God. We're not just a business organization trying to make their name in history and on this earth. We are the family of God. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing one another's burdens, overlooking one another's faults, helping one another, hallelujah, and encouraging one another, that we keep pressing towards that walk with Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. This all brings glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we don't want to leave any of them out. We don't want to become a picker and a chooser. We want God just to continually work in our hearts and in our lives to continually bring glory to His name. You see, that love, that's not something that you find. The love the Bible talks about is that love like Jesus gave when He gave His life on Calvary. Are you willing to deny yourself for someone else? You see, love also engulfs forgiveness. I mean, why would Jesus forgive us of our sins? We didn't do anything good for Him, but yet He says, I'll forgive. The finished work is done. The sacrifice has been made. You can have forgiveness of your sins no matter what you've done. Whoa. See, that's hard to grasp sometimes. Sometimes people don't think they can be forgiven for what they've done. Sometimes people don't think other people can be forgiven for what they've done. But God can forgive all if they will just but ask. That's grace. That's mercy. That's truth. That's Jesus Christ and what he brought into this world when he came into this world. I really believe that's why time changed. Because everything changed when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." Wow. Grace emerged from that tomb with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then all those who call on his name in faith shall find that mercy and that grace engulfing their lives, bringing forth what we just read about, the good works. See, it's you don't get this by good works. You have Jesus Christ, and he produces those works in you. See, this has been the age-old thing of trying to earn that forgiveness, and it don't work that way. No. That forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ and accepting and embracing him and who he is and what he's done. That's where the forgiveness comes from. Hallelujah. And then that's where the praise begins and the good works that are counted for us begin and the fruit bearing begins and the spiritual unity begins. 1 Corinthians 1:27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world, the things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." See, it's not about me, it's all about him. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Amen. John 14:6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, that was a stumbling block to the Jew. They didn't want to come through Jesus. They wanted to keep coming through their law. They wanted to keep coming through their works. Of course, they didn't even keep the law. They just generated their own. And that was a stumbling block to them. They just did not want to come through Jesus. That's where Saul of Tarsus was at too, before he met Jesus Christ and surrendered to him. They didn't want to come through Jesus. They realized there was a God. They knew salvation was of the Jew. That was a proclamation. Even Jesus himself made that proclamation. And they had the law. But when Jesus came, things changed. Now it's not the law. What are you going to do with Jesus? It's Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And he's alive. See, that's the part everybody keeps forgetting. He's not still in that tomb. He's right here today through the Spirit of God. He's alive and well. He's just as real. He has a glorified body. He doesn't choose to show it all the time, but he has shown it. He's shown it to his disciples, to over 500 at one time before he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, and he sent back the Holy Ghost to continue the work. And the work is all about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, him, his power, his will, his work. Because he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. "And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said if they try to come any other way, they're a thief and a robber. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the only way to the Father. To God, the triune God, and the ways of God, Jesus Christ is that door. Psalms 85:8, it says, "I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other." And here Psalms 138. I'll close with this morning. "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee." This is very interesting to me, to the fact that it's mentioned before the gods. See, there's all kinds of gods. There's only one true God. And this psalmist, this is a psalm of David. He said, I'll praise thee with my whole heart, and I'm going to praise you before all the gods that this world proclaims. I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to bring glory to your name. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And that might even be a reference to Jesus Christ, because he is the Word of God. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Glory. Giving glory unto God. Giving myself. Spirit, soul, and body unto God. To bring glory to his name. We're saved by his grace. We're saved by his mercy. We're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed 2,000 years ago. And it still cleanses today. That amazing grace. Our horn players played so wonderfully. That saved a wretch like me. That was the hardest thing for me to come to the knowledge of, was my wretchedness. But God brought me there. And he saved a wretch like me. Praise our God. Let's stand together. Sister Pepper, come back to the piano this morning. Bringing glory to God. We're saved. Which brings joy and peace, power in our lives. But not to continue in our folly, in that scripture that we read. Not to return to our folly, but to follow Jesus Christ and allow him to continue the process of changing and transforming our lives, so that we can bring glory to his name and that we can bring others face to face with Jesus Christ. It's not about church, though church is part of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ and letting Jesus Christ direct my paths. I'm reminded, I think about it quite often, honestly, of the letter, and I think maybe Sister Lindsay had made mention of it here not just a little while ago, a letter from a young man at Craig County Detention Center. And he wrote some astounding words that I don't normally hear from young people. He said, I did not realize how easy it was to live for Jesus Christ. I read that sentence and I thought, whoa, that's not normal. Most of the time it's always, man, this is hard. I can't do this. And he said, I did not realize how easy it was to live for Jesus Christ. He said, all I have to do is let Jesus make my decisions for me. Wow. The simplicity, really, of Jesus Christ. The simplicity of victory. The simplicity of salvation. The simplicity, really, of being filled with the Spirit of God. I just have to let Jesus make my decisions for me. After all, he's God that became man, and he went through everything on the face of this earth. He was tempted in all points as you and I are, yet without sin. He overcame. And because he overcame, then he was the sacrifice for all the sins of the world. And all I have to do is let Jesus start making my decisions for me, acknowledging him as Savior, acknowledging him as Lord, acknowledging him as God, and realizing that he knows best for my life. He's the one. This is the gospel. I mean, it's the gospel that's been preached for 2,000 years. It hasn't changed. It's still the same. Our hope, our help, our strength is all found in this man named Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Praise our God. Could we lift our hands and acknowledge him this morning? God of heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, the coming King. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you're going to rule and reign on the face of this earth. You're going to rule in righteousness and power. And right now, Lord, you're just pouring out grace to help those, God, that need help. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Son of God,
Savior of the world,
treasure of heaven.
I want to make glory to your name. I
want
to lift you up, Lord God.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is.
Let's come around these altars. Let's close with a time of prayer.